last week, but we'll do it again. The first cases are talking about when a person testifies that someone is his son or his brother. So that will, our topic has been Yerusha, inheritance, so it'll have an obvious relevance, who's inheriting from the father, who's sharing with the sons. But there's also a separate issue floating around of Yibum, meaning that if a person dies without a child, of course, then his brother is supposed to, the dead guy's brother is supposed to marry the widow. But that wouldn't be the case if there were, if the dead guy had a child, then there's no need for Yibum. So that will, of course, have a nafkamina in here. So Mishnah says, Ha'omer Zebni, if a person says, this is my son, so this is the father saying, like, guess what, boys, you have a third brother. So Ne'eman, he's believed. Yeah?
Boy child, I assume?
Bni means my son, yeah. Boy child.
Having no child.
Wouldn't have any relevance. Oh, well, it's not exactly true. It would, Bni is relevant because it's relevant both to inheritance and Yibum, but BT would be enough to get the his wife out of Yibum. He doesn't have any child. Any child will exempt. That's not Pesha. I like answer now, but that's not the Pesha. That's not the Pesha. It is. His life is continuing on. You see, Yerusha, it flows down through her. Daughter counts. Okay. Well, you're thinking about like his last name. What do you mean, like this?
That's
how it works. That's not what it's about. Not what it's about. I learned Yevamos since we. Right. I learned Yevamos since like Be'ian, since last time we learned Mishnayos, and now like I got it all figured out. Now I realize like Hakamas Hashem. The termination of the name is something very different than what, not different than what you would think. It's that is fulfilled as soon as the wife remarries the brother. It's done already.
But wasn't it really about bringing the Shalom back?
There's an idea about the hope that it will be bringing back, exactly. But it's fulfilled. I'm not getting into it. It's like a whole new world. Okay, point is, when Zebni means this is my son, Zebiti would have relevance. It still would have relevance. It's true, there's a fine inheritance too. Like, for example, if he had no descendants, and then he said, this is my daughter, so that would shortchange, like, say, his brother or his father, right? So, anyways, he's Ne'eman. He's believed. Now, the reason why he's believed over here for both these things is, anyways, he has what's called amigo, which means, believe me when I tell you what I'm telling you, because I could have told you something else instead, right? In this case, what could he have done instead? He didn't need to do any of this believe me stuff. He could just simply give his wife a get that said, oh, you're divorced a second before I die. What would that do? That would affect her to be a divorcee instead of a widow, which would then obviate the need for her to have Yibum, because widows have Yibum, but divorcees don't. So he doesn't need to go through the charade. He could have simply give her a piece of paper. Even though the truth is, I should point out, that they would, it's a little unusual, and it needs further discussion, as much as there is a mitigating factor, there's a downside to being a divorcee, which is you can't marry a Cohen. So you could argue, well, that's not such a great amigo because he wouldn't just divorce so quickly. But the answer is, the husband doesn't really care that much. If he wants, it's a big deal. If the wife can't marry Cohen, that's not going to stop him from.
If he knew for sure she didn't want to marry his brother, then he could do it.
He could give her a get. So that's that. And as far as inheritance goes, again, if he was so bent on giving this guy, you know, a third of his money, he could just give it to him or give him paperwork prior to the death, and then, like, you know, he can gift it in his lifetime, so this is not a big deal. Therefore, he's believed. Morning, Mr. Abrams. Love Dafka. Why? I think even if
he can't do Yibum.
His brother's some short circuit here. Okay? Because a Cohen cannot marry a widow, that's true, but a widow. I'm sorry. Cohen could marry a widow. Cohen Gadol is a separate story. But a Cohen can't marry a divorcee, but a divorcee does not need Yibum. So if a guy dies without children, he once was married, but he's divorced, then there's no Yibum anyways. Yeah. Okay. So that's why he's believed. We're holding in the Blaster Perkates Mishnah above. We actually started this Mishnah last week, and we're still in the part we did last week, so you actually have missed not that much, so we've clarified some issues. So, next clause in the Mishnah, if the person is not testifying about his child, but about his brother, Ze'achi. So, this is, you have Reuben and Shimon are happy brothers, and then Reuben says to Shimon, guess what? You may not know it, but we have a third brother, Levi. So, in that case, Einu Ne'eman, Levi need not believe Shimon, because why should he? There's no compelling reason to believe him. And therefore, Shimon, the brother who's not convinced, does not need to allocate any of his inheritance to this third guy. Well, he'll say simply, he doesn't have to dig his heels in the ground and say, no way, Jose. He can just simply say, listen, bring me a proof you're my brother, and you can have your fair share of the Yerusha. Until then, you know, what do you want from me? So, Hamozim v'chaver lo v'raim. So, he's not necessarily repudiating the guy's status. He just says, listen, whatever you say goes. But bring proof and you can have it. Until then, not.
And they talk about brother, of course, they're talking about
paternal brothers. Exactly, paternal brothers here. Exactly, right? Now, as far as that's inheritance, as far as Yibum goes, so Eino Ne'eman, he's not believed, means that the Reuven, who is claiming that this guy Levi is his brother, is not believed, so therefore Reuven has no way to change his wife's status as being eligible for Yibum or not. In other words, if let's say she was Ptur from Yibum, there's no other brothers, and then Reuven says, guess what? Well, when I die, you're going to have to do Yibum with Levi. She can essentially say, no way. He's not believed that Levi is a brother. So he has no power to change his status. Of Yibum?
Yeah.
Well, they're supposed to be consensual, but the point is, but remember in Yibum we said already that even if she could refuse and want to do Chalitza, if he would force her anyways, it would be Chal. He's not supposed to, but it would be effect that now she's the wife. It would have its ramifications, but not here. In other words, so the story would be, Reuven says to his wife, guess what? You don't know, but I have a brother. No one knows it, but I have a brother named Levi. When I die, you're going to have to do Yibum with him. And then she doesn't want that, and then Reuven goes and dies. And then she doesn't want to get involved with Levi, and Levi says, well, too bad for you, and he goes and rapes her, so then that would be effective as Yibum. But she would then go to Basin and say, that guy raped me, and they will prosecute him as a rapist and not treat her as like now. And the point is, the Reuven and Ne'amana, so it doesn't change, Levi is not considered in the eyes of the law as being the brother. That'll be like that. Okay. Now, V'notel imo b'chelko, literally means that he takes with him his portion. Who are the he's and who are the hims? So this is where this is the last thing we said on Thursday. I'll draw the picture again. I think it was
not complicated, but it's a tablet. So I'll do it. Here we've got two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. They're definitely brothers. Okay? There's another guy leaving here. Watch.
Adopted line.
Levi. The Levi, who's a questionable status. I mean, questionable is like a fun way of putting it, because from the eyes of Reuven said Levi is a brother. When a person says something, so then, and it's to detriment, it's automatically believed in the eyes of the law. So, from like, when we're passing shadows in Reuven's world, there's no question mark here, Levi's the brother. When we're passing from Shimon's world, there's no question mark here, Levi's not the brother. There's no name on us, okay? So, don't think of question mark as being a suffix, there's really no. It's not a suffix in the normal sense of the term of the word. No, it's not, we don't know. We don't know who the father is. So like here we, a better word. It's like the law is like bifurcated. It's like split in half depending on whose perspective. Because Reuven has no nemanis of Levi, his brother. So everyone, the whole world will say, who cares what you say, Reuven? Except from Reuven's little world, he has to follow through with what he says because he said it. Like, we had this, like, for example, you make some, like, a fatigue de sur, you make some dishes like usher to you, and you can't eat it anymore. That was like,
a similar case, like a person says, that meat's treif. So then everyone can marry it in the Nadarm, and so who cares? Everyone can eat the meat except for that guy who said he can't eat it. Okay, so here's how it's going to play itself out. Here's Dad. His name is Yaakov, not surprisingly. So Yaakov has a grand estate of $12,000. We should move to shekels.
All right, move to shekels.
$12,000. That looks ridiculous, shekels. Okay, so. Is that clear what I wrote here? It looks ridiculous. So let's say 12,000 K shekels. Okay, 12,000 shekels. So how should it go? So as far as Reuven's concerned, this is in Reuven's, I'll be like, here's a divide for my table. Okay? From Reuven's perspective, it should be going, I should be getting 4, Shimon should be getting 4, and Levi should be getting 4. Dialed. Okay. From Shimon's perspective, he says, listen, I don't know anything about the Levi guy. So from Shimon's perspective, it should be going, Reuven should be getting 6, and Shimon should be getting 6, and Levi should get nothing.
Why is the 4 getting nothing?
Because there's another sister that I didn't tell you about. Okay, so she's around, she's a girl. She's smiling because I didn't give her a name. Okay, so now, as far as late, so what's going to happen? Actual will be like this. This was counterintuitive, which is why I'm writing it again. Shimon says, listen, I don't care what you say, I'm getting my fair share, you have no ne'emana, so Shimon will get what he wanted. Shimon will get 6K. Reuven will say, listen, he said Levi's the brother, so Reuven's going to get his fair share, even though he has to share with Levi. So he'll get 4K. He gets what he says. And Levi gets that piece of Reuven's that Reuven's giving to him, 2K. Okay? So you would say to yourself, wait a second, why doesn't, if Reuven claims his brother's with Levi, why don't they split it 50-50 and each get 3K? The answer is, that's not what Reuven said. Reuven says, as far as I'm concerned, it should be 4-4-4. Shimon, if you want to jip your brother, that's your problem, but that's not my problem. So Reuven gets his 4, Shimon gets his 2, Levi gets, I'm sorry, he gets a 6, Shimon gets a 6, and Levi gets a 2.
From the 4.
From the 4. Now, that's what plays itself out. Now, if, the Mishnah says, I'll read inside for a second. The Mishnah says, then says, Mace, if he dies, who's he? This is Levi. So if Levi dies, and he has no children, so then, where's the money going to go to? So the Mishnah says, Yachzeru nechasim lemakoman. His assets go back to where are they, to their place. Which will mean to their proper place. So what's that mean? That will mean that these 2,000 will go back into the pot, if you will, and come down all into Reuven's side. Now let me explain that carefully here. It's not that since Reuven was a nice guy, he'll get back what he gave. It's that however you slice it, the post death, this split should be 6 and 6, right? Everyone agrees to that. Reuven and Shimon, we both agree, once Levi's out of the picture, it should be 6 to each of us. So everyone already agrees that Shimon got his 6, so the last 2 should be going to Reuven. So no, in other words, no one's not getting their way now. From Shimon's perspective, he's getting the 6 he always deserved, and the other 6 is going back to Reuven where he says they always should have gone. And from Reuven's perspective, he said 4-4-4, he would agree that once Levi dies, it should be 6 and 6, which is what's going to happen. The 6 will come back to Reuven's side. The 2 will come back to Reuven's side and give him 6, like he always said. Now, why am I saying that? Because what would happen if Levi actually was independently wealthy and he had another 100 that we didn't know about? Well, that doesn't matter, we didn't know about. So that 100, where is it going to go? It's going to go back into the pot and come 50-50. This guy will get, Shimon will get 50, whatever it is, and Reuven will get $50 each. Okay? Why? Because it's going back into the pot and coming down equally. Now that would, of course, assume that when Shimon told Reuven, I'm not giving any of my inheritance to Levi, he didn't say, Levi is certainly not my brother. If he would have made a formal repudiation of Levi being the brother, so he would also, so to speak, he couldn't now turn around and inherit Levi's stuff. But since he didn't, he just said, I don't know anything about this Levi guy, you know, let him bring a rye and then he can have it. So then Shimon and Reuven will inherit equally, so that will go 50-50 each of them. Yeah? Now the truth is something a little more tricky here, which is, that's straightforward enough. The snag is that if Levi, we didn't know who his father was. That must be the case here. And the only thing we know is that Reuven insisted that Levi was his brother. But remember we said, when a person says, so-and-so Levi is my brother, eino ne'eman, he's not believed. So the truth is, in the eyes of the law, there's no reason in the world why this $100 should actually flow up to the two of them. Why should it? He's a person who has no family tree, as far as the law knows. And therefore, when he dies, like we said before, his stuff should just sit around as hefker, and whoever grabs it first should be the rightful owner. In other words, if there's some other guy here he is, Yehuda, off to the side. And you're right. And Yehuda says, listen, you guys, I know that Levi's rich, I know he died, so I'm taking this $100.
then Reuven or Shimon could never get the money out of Yehuda's hands. How could they? Yehuda just snagged it. But there's no, Yehuda will go to Bates and say, who says that Levi really was this guy's brothers? All you have is Reuven, and Reuven is Eino Naaman. So Yehuda could keep it. So the case must be where Reuven went and grabbed it. Reuven went and grabbed the $100. And then he says, I'll keep it for myself. So now Shimon can go to Bates and say, no, 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 he's our brother equally, and we're, if you're going to get half, I get half. So that's how, that's the case has to be like that. Yeah?
Can you do that?
Who's he? Yeah, why not?
He's just, he previously repudiated.
Well, he didn't repudiate. He just said, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
He said, I don't know, but you can't force, you can't just force me to give up half my inheritance,
no,
or a third of my inheritance. Well, yeah, now he knows enough to say, listen, Reuven, I want my fair share. Right. He's getting his cake, eating it too.
Because
we don't know if Levi is a brother or not. Reuven said he is. The law says he isn't. But Reuven is. No.
Got
it. Just don't know the connection. There you go. This is the only female in the picture. That's right. This is the female over here. You can see. The Bukhara. Okay. Good. So that's the Mishnah up to there. That's as far as we got.
She's happy because she's not in the
Mahabharata. That's right. That's, she's happy, but she's sad because she didn't get any money. Okay.
Can she grab the 100?
Yes, anyone could grab the 100. 100 is up for grabs. Like anybody who dies without inheritors. Listen, anyone.
If someone
dies and they have no inheritors.
No, but I mean in this case, when he claims to the brother.
The law is that really, when Levi dies, if the law has no idea who is rightful inheritors are, whoever grabs it, grabs it. But if who grabs it is Shimon or Reuven, they can then say, listen, it's if Reuven grabs it, Shimon can say, listen, he's our brother according to you, you have to give me half.
What would be a simple way to do? I'd imagine quite often there was a case where someone died and his brothers wouldn't know for quite some time.
Well, usually they can do research and find out who it is, especially in these days. I mean, who the heck has no relatives?
Not today. Not today. Today,
what would they do back then?
You can track down spies on the internet.
What would they do back then?
I'm saying back then there was no telegrams,
And no one grabbed it?
I'm saying, let's say
I have no idea.
What would they do? They probably quite a bit.
I don't know if it did happen that often. But I don't know, let's say it did happen. So I don't know. Probably they were just basing, probably wouldn't get involved, and then whoever could take it. And if someone was a nice guy and dropped the basin, basically would keep it for themselves, for the communal needs. Or hold it for 30 days.
I don't know if
there's an answer
to need, isn't it?
What are they going to do? No. So like any other Bava Metzia question, they'll probably keep it and announce it and say, if anyone can prove that they are the rightful heir to so and so, come claim it, and then they wait for however long they wait for. Let's say, like, we had a machlokas. Halacha was. That's the basement, which is around 3 allele regals plus 7 more days. That's how we poskin. Remember it. So that's how it came out in Bavmatsia. So then they'll make an announcement that if anyone can claim the rightful heir, so then let them come. Three, and then if no one claims, then the basement will do with it as they see fit. The rabbi's discretionary fund. Well, that's what we'll be.
Slush fund.
So, yeah, that's that. Okay, now, it's the same Mishnah, but it's like a new world. We said up to now that if a person dies, what he says with his verbal instructions, those stand if he says it on his deathbed, the special rabbinic empowerment of the Shiv Meirah.